My name is Zimi Chu, Dr. Z, Microsoft Architect Evangelist. With me today is Vishwas Lele. He has just presented a Windows Azure session at Microsoft Developer Conference. So we are very glad to have him to join us to talk about Windows Azure. Before we get started, can you introduce yourself first?
Dr. Z, thanks. My name is Vishwas Lele, CTO for Applied Information Sciences, and also the Microsoft Regional Director for the Mid-Atlantic region.
There is quite a buzz around Windows Azure. Help us to understand, what is Windows Azure?
Think of it as the operating system for the cloud. Much as the desktop provides you abstraction from the hardware, Windows Azure, think of it as a cloud operating system which provides an abstraction around a large set of machines that are running out there where you can install applications and run them.
You mentioned the cloud computing. Let's take a moment to really look at what exactly the cloud is all about.
Think of it as a set of servers, whether they're physical or virtual, out there on the net, which enable you to take your application that you develop on your desktop and then deploy it and run that application. And a couple of other characteristics to keep in mind when you're defining cloud computing are, it's made up of a large number of servers, like I said. It enables a dynamic environment where you can add one or more servers to your applications. It is a utility-based computing model where you pay for what you use. And then finally, and equally importantly, I think, is that the cloud infrastructure has to be automated. So the fact that new machines are coming in, the fact that network addresses are being set up, all of this process has to be automated for it to scale. So those are some of the core characteristics, Dr. Z, of how I would describe cloud computing.
Windows Azure is a cloud operating system. But what is the Azure Services platform?
Much like a desktop OS, Windows Azure provides a number of building block services. So to give you a concrete example, .NET Services has things like a workflow service, where you can write a workflow program and host it in the cloud. You have the .NET Service Bus, which gives you service bus pattern to be able to allows you the service bus pattern in the cloud. And of course, you have the SQL Data Services, which is your persistent data storage for your applications running in the cloud. So these are some of the building block services that you can use to build your applications living in the cloud.
So you are saying there are a set of services that will be running on top of Windows Azure, such as .NET Services, SQL Data Services. These are the building blocks.
Right.
But how are they different from cloud computing services, such as Amazon's EC2 or S3?
I think there are two key differentiators between these services that you just talked about and .NET services. The first difference, and which is important, frankly, to .NET developers, is it is based on technologies that we are familiar with. So I mentioned the workflow service. It is nothing but Windows Workflow Foundation 3.5. So you can essentially write a Windows Workflow Foundation program and upload it. So number one is you have desktop technologies. There's a direct connection between the desktop technologies and what you are running in the cloud. Okay, that's one difference. The second difference is that the entire Windows Azure structure is based on a model. So when you write your applications, and when you are ready to deploy them to the cloud, you create essentially a model, which just defines what will be the different roles in the application, how will they communicate, where will you store the state, what will be the latency. You'll take all of these characteristics, store it into a model, and then upload the model and your code to Windows Azure. And the Windows Azure OS then looks at the model and decides what to provision, how many servers to provision, what are virtual IPs to provision, what switches to provision, etc. But you are never really dealing with the machine directly that is going to execute your program. You essentially take your code and your model and give it to the OS, and the OS then decides. This is in contrast with some of the other services where you are still running in a virtual cloud, but you are required to go in and have access to that machine, set it up, etc. So I think those two are the key differences between the .NET services and some of the other services platforms that you talked about.
One question I would like to ask you, Vishwas, is about the relation and or difference between Windows Azure and the Azure services platform with Microsoft's strategy, software plus services. Are they the same? Are they different?
So software plus services is really a strategy. It's not a product or a technology. The easiest way for me to describe it is a strategy that strives to take advantage of software running on-premise with another service that may be running on the net. Right? Examples, hosted Exchange, hosted SharePoint are good examples of that. And what is interesting is Windows Azure is another tool which will allow you to implement that strategy. So well, today you may be hosting Exchange or SharePoint. Tomorrow, Windows Azure may provide a SharePoint service, which is another building block service that is sitting on top of the Windows Azure fabric.
Early on, you mentioned a set of services running on top of Windows Azure platform. So basically, you are saying that the developers will not be working with relational database. Rather, they will be working with the storage and the data services.
That's correct. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up. There are two things to understand here. There's something called the Windows Azure Storage, which think of that as your file system for your application. So Windows Azure OS is providing a file system, and that's the Azure Storage. And that's not a relational structure. If you have things like blobs and queues, REST-based API to store information and retrieve it. And then, of course, you have the SQL data services. And think of it as being the database in the cloud. It is based on SQL Server nodes, number of SQL Server nodes clustered together. And another thing to note there is, again, the SQL data services is like the database, but currently, it does not support the ANSI SQL syntax. You have a link-based syntax to query data. Although at the PDC, they announced that they are looking at ways to support ANSI SQL. But the important thing to note here is that the SQL data services is designed to be a scale-free data storage environment. And the best way to get benefit out of that is to partition your data, and that's fundamentally what their strategy is, to partition your data.
What kind of applications do you think developers can create with or for the Windows Azure platform?
Right. So in my mind, there are three styles of applications that developers can create based on the Windows Azure platform. You, of course, have your standalone applications, let's say an ASP.NET application, which you are probably hosting on-premise or hosting with a hoster. You could, with Windows Azure, develop it locally and then deploy it to Windows Azure platform. So that would be one application, an entire application hosted there. Then, of course, you have an application which is a composite application where you may still be hosting maybe the web application in your on your servers or in your data center, but also leveraging services offered by Windows Azure. So we talked about the SQL data services earlier. So you may have an application that is running in your data center, but using the SQL data services to store the data or as a persistent store. And of course, the third style of application is that you are building a bunch of services and you're hosting those services in the cloud for others to come in and consume. So those are the three styles of application that I think are important here.
For developers of Java and Ruby applications, can they also take advantage of the Windows Azure services?
So certainly, to have a truly open cloud computing platform, it is important to support not just a few languages, C#, VB.NET. It is important to support a number of different languages. And more than just the languages, you need to have an API that can then be invoked from other platforms. So certainly, this is the case with Windows Azure. They've used SOAP REST-based API, which can be consumed from other platforms. Microsoft is also working on open source projects. So you have things like the Java.NET Services SDK that you can leverage. There's also a Ruby SDK that you can use to take advantage of some of the services that we talked about earlier.
Cloud computing is relatively new, and Windows Azure has not even been officially released yet. But given your understanding of the Azure platform, what kind of changes do you see that it will bring to developers and even businesses as we move into the future?
Sure. So I'd like to answer this question in three parts, because you know we're really talking about three different entities here. The developers who develop software, companies who make software, and then people who consume the software. So very quickly, like I said, developers are familiar with the tools, Windows Workflow Foundation, etc. They can continue to use these tools to build applications for the Azure platform. They, of course, need to think about their application architecture, model them in a way that can take advantage of Windows Azure. Folks who are writing the software, the ISV community, the services community, has an important opportunity here as well. If you're creating a bundled software, maybe you can take that software and host it in the cloud and make it available as a service to your consumers. If you are a services company, then you need to think about how to architect this application to take advantage of the cloud. And of course, to the consumers of the service, the benefits are quite evident. Today, they have to build the software and then worry about where to host it, how many servers would they need, how would they keep this application up 24/7, how would they roll out upgrades, and then how will they deal with, frankly, the hardware failures that are bound to happen. And Windows Azure seeks to automate these things that we talked about.
Vishwas, this has been a very interesting discussion. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Dr. Z. As you can see, I'm quite excited about the possibilities that Windows Azure has to offer, and we'll see how it turns out.